Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys have been enjoying your day so far. Make sure you check out my website, Tuttle.net. When you go to Tuttle.net, you're going to be able to find every single place you can find me online. That's social media, how to contact me, especially my YouTube page. And that's where I want to start off today's show. I want to thank every single person, especially the people that have been supporting all the content that I'm putting out with the Tuttle Daily Podcast. But at the beginning of 2021, I wanted to make it like a goal to become monetized on YouTube, to have another flow of income coming in. I don't want you to think I'm making a lot of money off of YouTube. It's not like I'm going to get rich or retire off of it, but it's just one of those goals. You know, since I stopped drinking and stuff, because that's all I wanted to do was drink, do drugs and stuff, it didn't make me want to set goals. And since I've been living the sober life, it's made it so much easier for me to go for goals. And that was one of those. Now, when you watch my live stream, you know, like a lot of you guys that watch me or listen to me or support the content that I put out are fans of the Bubba the Love Sponge show. He does his show on Twitch. And you know how you can cheer bits and stuff like that. You can now do that since I'm monetized. Instead of giving bits on YouTube, they have something called Super Chat where you guys can donate money as well. And I don't want you to think like, oh, I'm going to go out and I'm just going to be living a baller lifestyle. No, I've told you all the money that I've been trying to save. A lot of you guys are like, oh, you're mooching off your mom. No, not really. I'm able to do what I love on a single, every single day basis. I'm able to help her out. You know, spending time with my mom is a lot more important now, you know, since my dad is gone. It makes you appreciate the time that you have left with your parents. But I do a lot of stuff around here. I'm banking money, and I plan on building this studio in the shed as soon as I can finally get all the garbage out of this fucking shed that these two white trash bitches, Dakota and Nicole, left in there. I am going to have a yard sale. I do have some big announcements, but I cannot make them. I'm not going to be like one of those radio hosts. You know, we used to make fun of Russ Rollins all the time whenever he had a big announcement, but he was not supposed to make the announcement yet, but he always would. Like, he was horrible at not announcing or, you know, keeping a secret, not like trusting him, like if I told him something personally, but like if there was a big event or something really, really huge that was going to happen with the show, but we set a date, this is when we're announcing it. I got some really, really big things, and I don't want to jinx it. Job opportunity, maybe. See, I'm already going a little bit too far now. And I can't wait to be able to announce it because I think you guys are going to be completely excited about what I'm going to do. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm going to stop doing the Tuttle Daily Podcast because I'm not. I'm going to keep doing this every single day because I enjoy doing it. I get to do what I want to do. I don't have a program director. I don't have a boss or anything like that that is telling me what I can do every single day. I may have to tone it down a little bit, you know, but I still plan on doing the show. If you've been a listener of mine or a follower or of my career, you know that I've done a lot of the Jackass style type stunts. Now, you know, it really, really doesn't seem like it is as popular as it is anymore. I don't even know if I'm going to go see the new Jackass movie when it comes out, because I just don't want to see a bunch of old people getting hurt. Plus, Bam Margera, if they were smart, even though Bam Margera is a complete train wreck right now, you want to have that train wreck. Every show needs a train wreck. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I, for the longest time, was the train wreck on a lot of radio shows. But I think it's going to be sad to see a bunch of old men hurting themselves. But you know what? We'll probably also go watch it. People watch America's Funniest Home Videos and old people get kicked in the balls all the time. But I'm actually really, really interested in trying this next piece of audio that I'm going to play for you. If you're not big on social media, especially TikTok or YouTube, they have these challenges now. And this one looks really, really interesting. It's called the Milk Crate Challenge. If you guys get a chance, just Google or go to YouTube and search the Milk Crate Challenge. Basically, what they're doing is they're setting up like a pyramid. I think at the highest, it's 7 milk crates high. And then the next level is a crate less, and then down, down, down. It's almost like a step going all the way up to the top and then going all the way down. And it's just constantly been videos of people just breaking their backs, landing on their heads and stuff. And I mentioned this last night on the live stream that I did at youtube.com/Tuttle. See, I'm throwing plugs out there now that I'm monetized. But I do want to do this. I am going to attempt the Milk Crate Challenge on Friday. But this next audio, this is the first guy that I've actually seen successfully do the Milk Crate Challenge. But he added a little bit of a twist to it. He rolled a blunt while doing the Milk Crate Challenge and successfully did it. And when he got down to the bottom, he lit that bitch up and celebrated.
Hey, yo, Mike said he about to go. Hey, yo, everybody, Mike said he going up there rolling up the blunt.
All right, so I think this would have been a lot more difficult because the whole thing about rolling a blunt is having to split it and get the tobacco out of the blunt itself. But he doesn't do that. The blunt's already been split. It's already kind of been, like, wet down. He's already got, I think he already had the weed inside the blunt itself. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this Milk Crate Challenge. It's not going up the incline on the milk crates. It's on the way down is where everybody ends up having a really, really hard time. But I still got to tell you, this is very, very impressive. And the main reason I'm playing this is the commentary. The guy, the camera operator, is the only goddamn reason I'm playing this thing for you, because they need to hire this guy to call premiership soccer matches. I'm just saying.
He said he too comfortable. He too comfortable. Ooh. 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 He too comfortable. He too comfortable.
See, I mean, that's the whole key to the Milk Crate Challenge, is to have confidence. You got to have confidence. See, a lot of you guys forget that I was an iron worker for a while. And my dad always told me, scared people get hurt while you're walking a beam or walking up in the air. Yeah, we did have safety harnesses and stuff on. And when you fall, it doesn't feel good, especially if you're a man, when that harness finally catches you, because the harness goes around your groin area. I think probably that's most likely why I have the start of a hernia in that area, because it will rack your nuts like nobody's business. But yeah, being an iron worker, I never fell. And I think you do have to be confident when doing this challenge. Now, the other problem that people, the ones that have been failing, is they don't know how to fall. And a lot of people are like, Tuttle, what do you mean you don't know how to fall? Well, from all the years of the stunts and stuff that I've done, you really do have to learn how to fall. Like when you fall, you gotta start rolling before you hit the ground. Because if you hit the ground solid, you are absolutely done for. There was one time that I forgot how to fall. It was at a Miss Monster. They had a bunch of amateur wrestlers and stuff. And I was the special guest referee for the main event. And the biggest draw, and I got to tell you, I don't know why this guy never made it like to the WWE next level or something, but they had a guy called the Asian Giant. He was almost 7 foot tall. He was like a Yao Ming looking motherfucker. And I, you know, was supposed to, like, because the Asian Giant, his valet, his manager, the guy that walked him out to the ring, was kind of cheating. And I was supposed to act like I saw it, and I was supposed to break it up, and I pushed the Asian Giant, and the Asian Giant was supposed to chokeslam me. Now, if you don't know anything about wrestling, they usually try to give you a little bit of spring on the mat. No, not this one. It was straight, thick-ass plywood, did not bounce at all, and I landed flat on my back after getting choked by a 7-foot Asian man. And I landed on my back, and I broke 6 ribs in the front of my body. And that right there was kind of like the start of my substance abuse problem. Because if you've never had a broken rib before in your life, it hurts at first. That was also the worst that I had ever had the wind knocked out of me. I mean, well, I think as a kid, you've always had the wind knocked out of you. And it does feel like you're dying because you're grasping for air. You're gasping. Nothing's coming in. It's just all going out. And it only lasts about 15, 20 seconds. I swear to God, it must have been like a minute and a half, 2 minutes before I was able to finally catch my breath. And then I didn't realize it at the time that I had broke it until like the next day. Like when I would breathe in, it was just like a sharp, hot knife into my side. So that's when I learned, like, you got to learn how to fall, if that makes sense at all.
I got hit too comfortable. Oh! He rolled the block. Yeah! Finish that shit right there, God!
So just to let you know, the guy is now at the top of the milk crate, like, pyramid level. I mean, it's not a real pyramid. It's only one-dimensional. It doesn't go out as well. So he's already up there, and he's pretty, I mean, he's wobbling a little bit as he's trying to lick and roll and tighten up the blunt itself. Like, he stops there because it does take a little bit of a skill to roll a tight blunt. So he stops at the top. God, why am I rhyming a lot? Like, I just noticed that. Stopped at the top. I've said a lot of rhyming words today, and I'm not even doing it on purpose. Jesus, it makes me sound like a complete douchebag. But so he finally gets it down. Everybody's going crazy. Now, could you imagine, like, this guy, you know, I was just joking about him doing play-by-play for, like, Premier League Soccer. But could you imagine this guy, like, you know, right before they're about to score, he's like, yeah, roll that shit up. Go!
Finish that shit right there, guys! Yeah! Yeah! Roll that shit! Roll that shit, guys! Finish breaking out the weed. Yeah, he didn't go for that one. Hey, yo, Cool said you going down. Hey, yo, you fall with that weed. You know we can't find that in the grass.
You know, once you break up weed, I mean, it becomes really, really fine. And they're doing this on grass. Now, I mean, that's another thing, all right? So is it make it more difficult to do it on grass or do it, like, on a hard surface, like dirt or concrete? Because I have seen dumbasses try to do this on concrete, and it's just a bad mistake. Usually everybody lands on their back and almost just paralyzes themselves like Christopher Reeves when he was riding that horse. You know, the original Superman. That's why I told you, you got to learn how to fall. But, like, the one guy, the commentator, is like, no, man, don't make him fall. Because the guy's doing it in grass. So if he falls, I mean, he's going to lose, like, an eighth. Because this is a very fat blunt that he is rolling.
You know we can't find that weed in the grass, cuz.
See, I mean, we all have those. Like, everybody knows a person that has weed. And there's always one person in the group that never provides any weed. And I'm sure the cameraman's like, all right, man, I hope he does not fall because I don't have any weed. So if this guy makes it down to the bottom, since I'm commentating this stuff, I'm at least going to get a couple of pulls off of this blunt. So the commentator has a little bit of invested interest in if this guy makes it down to the bottom or not. Because if he does fall, all that weed, you're not going to be able to find it in the grass. I'm sure there will be some people be like, oh, I found a nug here. You know, so, I mean, eventually, well, I'm sure they're not smoking stuff that's got seeds in it. I was about to say, if he did fall, you might start having some weed plants growing in the front lawn. But, like, if you're getting weed now that has seeds in it, you're going to the wrong person.
Hey, yo, somebody said, oh, my God, I wish he'd fall. Damn, that's some hating shit.
Yo,
stop. Yo, stop, bro.
See, I was right. That cameraman is a guy that never brings weed. He always goes to the place where everybody's smoking to see if he can get, like, a pull off of a random blunt. Because people will do that. Like, I remember the first time I ever heard that, like, term was in the movie Half-Baked. You know, when, what's-his-face, Dave Chappelle and Jim Brewer are sitting there on the step and they're smoking. And then Snoop Dogg comes out of nowhere. He's like, man, let me hit that. Let me hit that, yo. And then when he hits it, he's like, he was like, man, what? No. Because the guy that doesn't have the weed is the one that takes more pulls than anybody when it comes to smoking. And then he hands it, and then it's got a big, long ash burn on the end of it. Yeah, that's the type of guy this cameraman slash commentator is.
Hey, yo, bro, stop with the dick ride shit, bro. We don't do that shit, bro. Nah, he ain't stuck. He just rolling and finishing the blunt. So when he come down, he gonna light it. That's all? Yeah. And this is yo. This. Yes.
On a crate.
Yeah. Yo, he rolling it on a crate, cuz. Yeah. Get that nigga a lighter. Get that nigga a lighter.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of telltale signs from this cameraman. Because this cameraman's like, yeah, because he's already down to the bottom, and he's like, man, give that guy a lighter. Give that guy, well, I mean, he doesn't say give that guy a lighter, but I can't say that word. But he's like, hey, give that guy a lighter. Give that guy a lighter, because he's peeing. Like, it's probably like this video looks like it was shot around noon or something. This guy probably has not had any THC in his body. And, you know, he's making this guy TikTok famous, so you know he's probably going to get, like, the second hit off of it. And then everybody else is going to just be shit out of luck because the cameraman is the weed fiend that is just going to smoke up the whole goddamn thing.
Get that nigga to life! Get that nigga to life! Yeah! Get that nigga to life, guys!
Is it just me, or do, like, African Americans or minorities just have more fun than white people? Like, seriously. Like, I mean, that sounds like a fun-ass time just listening to it. I mean, that's why I like radio. I like radio because you can hear the emotion, everything. I mean, this guy could be a part of the Motor Racing Network calling NASCAR races. Easily could do that because you can hear the way, I mean, he does kind of repeat himself a little bit. But, I mean, it just seems like African Americans, Spanish, all minorities here in this country just have more fun than us. Us as white people, we just take things too seriously. And it's just not as fun. This sounds fun. So I plan on doing the Milk Crate Challenge coming up this Friday on my YouTube channel, but I kind of need your help. I've been going around today already trying to find milk crates and stuff. I've gotten a few, but, like, if you have any milk crates or know where I can get some milk crates, please email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, T-U-D-D-L-E, @gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Hell, if you're a company and you got a bunch of milk crates, I'll throw you a plug if you get a hold of me. I will plug the fuck out of your business if you could donate me enough milk crates to be able to pull off this stunt. Because I really, really do think that I can complete it. And if I don't, I mean, it's even better. I mean, I hope I don't get paralyzed or anything. I'm going to get a cameraman. Because I may do like a 3-camera shoot on this. I do have a GoPro that I can like put on my head. So you get like a POV type shot. And then I do my newest sponsor, Ian Hanna, IanHannaHomes.com. He has a bunch of drones because he specializes in drone footage. when they're trying to sell houses and stuff. So I could have a setup camera, like on the tripod. I could have the POV camera. Then I could have somebody else videoing this, plus a drone shooting above footage. Like, I'm going out all out on this. Like, if this went viral, this could be the next step, the next evolution when it comes to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. So if you got those milk crates, email me, tuttle@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Going to take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, sir. That's enough. Okay. So go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir.
If you're in the market to buy or sell a home in Volusia, Brevard, or Flagler counties, you need to reach out to Ian Hanna at ianhannahomes.com. On his site, you can learn more about Ian's use of premium photography and aggressive marketing to sell your home quickly and painlessly. So if you're a first-time buyer and not sure where to start, connect with Ian at ianhannahomes.com.
Questions? Comments? Concerns? Compliments? Or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com.
It's Tuttle with two D's, dumbass.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I want to apologize about not doing a show yesterday. I needed a little bit of time off. And I don't want anybody to think like I'm speaking ill will of my mom or anything. But I mean, you could be best friends with people, even in relationships. I don't want anybody to think like I have a relationship with my mom, you know, stuff like that. I'm talking about dating relationships, marriages, stuff like that. If you ever notice, like when you spend a lot of time with the same person, like on a daily basis, you don't get a break at all. The tension does start to build. And I don't want you to think I love my mom to death, would do absolutely anything for her. You know, she just had the surgery. You know, she just lost her husband of 48 years, my father. So she is going through a hard time. She had that surgery to have the tumor taken out. And I've been helping her. I've been trying to go to the store by myself as much as I can. But my mom is just a very, very like shopping ninja. Like she is good at shopping. She takes her time. That's why it's a big ordeal just to take her to the store, because she is very frugal. She takes her time, finds the good deals. And when she goes, because a lot of people will do this stuff, okay? When you go to the store, you will just get the stuff that you need at the moment. No, my mom plans for the whole week because she likes to, yeah, it is a pretty hefty like grocery bill by the time she's done, but we're good. We're good for like a week and a half. So I've been trying to do the shopping and I really have not done as a well of job as she's done in the past. And so I've been taking her. I really don't even feel comfortable taking her because with this Delta variant going around and stuff, her just having surgery, her having cancer in the past, going through chemo, her immune system is not that great. Even though she's been vaccinated, you know, like it's being proved that the vaccination really isn't working. I mean, look at Jesse Jackson. I mean, Reverend Jesse Jackson is in the hospital right now and I don't know. I mean, it could have all been fake anyways, but he did get injected with something on live TV. So back to the story, you know, like I wanted, because my mom is a very independent woman. She does not like to get help. Like she likes to do stuff on her own. So she was like, hey, I'm going to go to the store. I really don't need you. And you know what? I did not even fight her on it. Because I knew that it was important to her. I knew that, hey, you know what? This is good. She wants to feel like she's going to be able to, you know, take care of herself. You know how I mentioned earlier, I may have some big news. See, I am becoming Russ. Like, I'm more and more, I'm giving you more and more details of some of the possibilities of future employment. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to let her go. Well, I hate even saying let her go. I mean, she's my mom, so I don't have to, like, give her permission for shit, but I let her go. So she drove my dad's Ford F-150, and now the key, for the most part, with all the cars now, you lock your car with the key fob. And the key fob is connected to the key. That's why they call it a key fob. Well, it was going on 3 hours, and I finally called her, and I was like, hey, what's going on? You know, are you okay? She locked the keys in the truck. Like, how? Like I said, I'm not mad at her at all. We've made mistakes. You know, back in the day, I used to be a wizard before power locks. You know, like, if you gave me a clothes hanger, I could perform an abortion as well as break into a car very, very easily before the cars had power locks and stuff. So, and also now, like, even with the power locks, you know, like, most of the locks, like, when you used to have to push them down on the door, had like a little top. It was almost like a golf tee. So it gave you something to be able to grab onto. Now they don't even do that. They're rounded off at the top, so you can't. So I got in the PT Cruiser, drove down there. And when I was driving, I was like, you know what? I was thinking about my dad. I was like, I don't believe in the afterlife. I'm not a spiritual person. I do believe that energy never dies. It gets reused. You know, like when you look up into the stars, when a star explodes, it really, really doesn't die. It spews its guts out there to recreate other stars, other planets, stuff like that. So, I don't know, maybe you could say I do believe in reincarnation. But I was thinking, I was like, you know, what would my dad do? What would my dad want me to do? Because my mom thought I was going to, like, you know, bitch at her or get in her ass about, you know, locking the keys. You know, this is why I can't let you go out and do anything, because, you know, you just can't handle it. No, you know what I did? I was like, my dad would not want me to give my mom a hard time. So I show up and I ended up, you know, I parked the car. The groceries were not locked in the truck. So we loaded up all the groceries. I let her drive the PT back. Because she's really good at driving a stick shift. Hell, my mom taught me how to drive a stick shift when in the Ocala National Forest when we used to dog hunt. Yeah, not hunt dogs, but, you know, use dogs to hunt deer. And we used to do fox trials, you know, fox hunting. We never killed the fox. We just wanted to run the dogs to give them practice when it wasn't deer season. So, you know, I learned how to drive a stick from my mom. My mom learned how to drive a stick from her brother. If you're ever going to teach your kid how to drive, you should teach them how to drive a stick. Because if they can drive a stick, they can drive anything at all. I don't know if you guys know this. Like, stick shifts are one of the least stolen cars out of all the cars out there. Because a lot of these thieves don't even know how to drive stick shift cars. So she loaded up the groceries, came home, brought them in, but it kind of threw her off, because she just knew that I was going to bitch at her, and I didn't. So she goes home, I wait. I've been a AAA member, and if I could give you guys, and I'm the wrong person to give anybody life advice at all, but the best thing, best investment you can do is be a AAA member. I've been a AAA member, and this is not a paid promotional spot or anything like that, but I have my AAA card, and I've had it for, I have now had AAA membership for 21 years. And it's one of the best things that you'll ever get, because you never know when you need it. Hell, even if you're with your friends and they lock the keys in the car or they have problems, you can use your card to help them out. Hell, I've been a AAA member for so long, they give me extra mileage. They give me extra tows. They give me, like, you know, when you've been over 20 years, it's like you are a preferred customer. And I got to tell you, when I called AAA, they had somebody there in 10 minutes, which was kind of scary. And the guy got there pretty quickly, you know, because he called me. And was like, hey, I'm only 5 minutes away. I was like, fuck, this is quick. So I went to the ATM machine. I pulled out a 20. I don't want anybody to think that I was a baller or anything, or trying to be a baller, but I ended up tipping him a 20 spot because he was there so quick. And you wouldn't even realize how quick they got that shit done. I think I have the guy's card here somewhere. Where the hell is it? Anyways, the name of the business is, oh, I got it right here. Hold on. Got it right here. The Key Ninjas. It's K-E-Y Ninjas. Like, you know, I called my mom a ninja earlier. Maybe that's why I did that. But they're a 24-hour locksmith. And if you need them and you're not a AAA member, you can give them a call, 407-607-6188. I tipped him. But, man, he got out of the car or his van, walked to the other side, pulled out a Slim Jim. It took him all of 15 seconds to get into the car, got the keys, then drove home. And then mom was like, you know, like, I'm sorry. We were both apologetic, you know. And she was like, hey, you know, I'll be fine. I'm good. I've shot for a while. I promise I won't leave anywhere. You should go hang out with Colton. And I did. I drove on Saturday, got there a little bit later, and spent Saturday, Sunday, and Monday morning with Colton. Now, I hadn't seen Colton since maybe a couple of days after my dad passed away, because he came over to see me. And, like, Colton is, like, one of the only friends. Now, I in the past, I've told other friends that I love them, but, like, me and Colton, like, every time we leave, not, like, every time, like, hey, you know, if we're going to see each other later, we don't say I love you, but, like, if I'm leaving and we knew that it's going to be a while, like, I don't know. I like to hear from you. You know, like, I like to ask a question every single day. And do you have that male friend or relatives, of course, you're going to say I love you, but just friends or a friend that you have such a connection with that they are like family that you say that you love them? I'd like to hear from you. 407-270-3044. Or you can email me, Tuttle@gmail.com. Because a lot of men have a hard time telling other men that are not family members that you love them. And me and Colton do that all the time. Because I do. If I'm being honest, Colton's parents are family to me. Colton's family, Mr. and Mrs., I don't even want to say their last name. Well, I mean, you guys know his last name anyways, but not going to say it anyways, but Colton's parents, I consider them family. Colton's sister, Carissa, I consider family. Colton, I consider family. One of Colton's good friends, Richie, you know, I consider him family. And I don't know, I just think guys have a hard time telling other guys that aren't family members that they love them. But on Sunday, we got up early and we went to Maple Street Biscuits right there in Carrollwood. And come to find out, they're all over the place now. And, you know, I've been eating really, really healthy. I've been taking my health, working out, weight, all that good stuff seriously. But I do like to give myself a cheat day every once in a while. If you go to any of my social media, just search Tuttle, twitter.com/Tuttle, facebook.com/Tuttle. Instagram.com/Tuttle. I posted the picture and it is one of the most delicious. And I used to, and you know what? It looked so good. I had to take a picture of it. I used to think that people that would take pictures of their food as douchebags, but I became one of those douchebags because I took a picture of it. I got it and they make their biscuits. They make their biscuits fresh. The biscuits were crunchy on the outside, but then they weren't like gooey, but they were a little doughy on the inside. I'm a big texture eater. I don't know if you guys know this, but I am. And I don't think I'm the only one. There are a lot of people out there that are big texture eaters. And what I mean, just how the food feels in your mouth. Because, like, you know, back in the day when I would smoke weed, still kind of do every once in a while, but, you know, it just feels good to have that food in between your teeth, just the way that it feels. So you bit into the biscuit. I almost am explaining food like it, like I'm goddamn Anthony Bourdain. But when you bite into it, you get that crisp of the biscuit. Then you get that little doughy part. Then you get to the fried chicken part, which is crunchy. It's not like over fried. It's lightly battered. And then I got the BLT part. So it was bacon, lettuce, tomato, and the bacon is maple. Now, I don't know how you guys like your bacon. Do you like your bacon a little soft or soggy? Or do you like it crunchy or burnt? I don't know. I've met a lot of people that like it both ways. We're bisexual bacon buddies. But what I'm trying to say is that crunch, you bite into the biscuit, then you hit the bacon, which is on top, then the chicken, and then the tomato and lettuce is at the bottom. And it was so goddamn good. But I don't know if you guys realize this, when you eat healthy for a really, really long time, and then you put something that is so fucking delicious like that. Like, I'm not complaining, not saying that the food is the reason that why it gave me explosive diarrhea, but it did, because I've been eating so healthy. But you know what? It was all worth it. It was all worth it for wrecking Colton's guest bathroom a couple of times on Sunday after eating there. But like I said, I don't want you to think, I got food poisoning or anything like that. It was just like my body. Oh, also the other thing that didn't help. You know, I really have not. I don't eat sweet. I don't even drink diet sodas. It's just straight water. I water, 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 water. And, you know, if you guys have listened to the Bubba Show, you know Colton has a whole, like, variety of candy next to his bed. And he buys that shit in bulk. And he talked me into it. Now, if you guys don't know this, when alcoholics stop drinking, they crave sugar. And the reason they crave sugar is because the alcohol you're drinking, it turns into sugar. And your body, you know, is like, oh, this is sugar. We need it. We need it. We need it. And I got to tell you, I ate a bunch of Sour Patch Kids. And the thing about Sour Patch Kids, like, I mean, my teeth have gotten a lot better. I have all my teeth. I just, from all the stress, tension, all my mental health issues, I have grinded my teeth down. But eating a bunch of Sour Patch Kids, man, it makes your teeth hurt. I don't even know why it does. I mean, it reminds me of Captain Crunch. You know, like when you would eat Captain Crunch back in the day, you would like just tear the roof of your mouth up. You would like basically lose like an inch of your gum line on your teeth with Captain Crunch. But I ate a bunch of the Sour Patch Kids. Then I ate like 2 Airheads. And that really, on top of the Maple Street biscuit thing, yeah, it really did kind of put my body into a shock. But I needed that. I needed those days off just to hang out with my best friend, somebody that I consider a brother, to be able to see his parents and stuff. So once again, I do apologize for not doing a show yesterday, but I needed it. But it's going to help me out. Like, it's going to make me stronger. You know, I came back last night. I did a live stream, tried out the super chat, the monetization, and it's put me in a good mood, and it's made me refocus. All right, so enough about the personal stuff. I want to talk a little bit about the whole Jeopardy thing. I think that they knew exactly what they were doing. I remember when Alex Trebek announced that he had, I think it was pancreatic cancer. And that is a really, really bad one to have. But everybody loved Alex Trebek. But I don't know why. Why did people love Alex Trebek? Because, you know, the host of Jeopardy really does not get a chance to show their personality as much because you're just asking questions. It's almost like you are a hardcore news reporter or an anchor that you're just there to deliver the news, not give your opinion, not give, you know, any like humor, stuff like that. But for some reason, I think it was the mustache. Alex Trebek definitely had a gorgeous mustache, but he's gone back and forth. He's had it shaved. He's had it on. I mean, early series Alex Trebek mustache, like, would rival Burt Reynolds' mustache or Sam Elliott mustache. I'm just saying. But, you know, I think Jeopardy really, really did know exactly what they were doing. Like, they knew that they already had their pick, which was that producer guy. You know, the one that had the podcast that said a bunch of stuff. He used to work on The Price is Right as well, too. They automatically had it set up where he was going to be that guy. And they were like, no. Let's make it into a news coverage. Because Jeopardy has been talked about more than Jeopardy has ever been talked about in its entirety, in its infancy. I'm just saying. So they were like, all right, we're going to get a bunch of special guest hosts. People are going to tune in. People are going to watch this. But they knew the whole time. But they did make an announcement. They're not saying that it's full-time, like, you know, a permanent thing. But goddamn Blossom, and I had the biggest crush on Mayim Balik. I always get her name messed up, so that's why I call her Blossom. But I don't know. Let's listen to the audio.
The question, what is Jeopardy Deja Vu?
See, this is why, you know, how I've talked about I wanted to be a field reporter. And everybody's like, well, why wouldn't you want to be an anchor? You know, those are the big swinging dicks. No. I would blow my brains out if, you know, the script writer or the producer said that I had to say what is or, you know, because, you know, when Alex Trebek used to read the question, that's the thing about Jeopardy. They give you the answer and you're supposed to give the question. And I would just be like, I would look at the producer. It's like, I'm not reading this. It's going to make me look like the biggest douchebag. It's going to make me look like a hack. And that's why I would never want to be an anchor. I would want to be a field reporter because when you're out there, yeah, they could cut you off. But you don't have anybody. I mean, you do have a cameraman and maybe a field producer or something. But you know what? You being the field reporter, you have, you know, a hierarchy on them. And you just go tell them to fuck themselves. So that's why I would want to be a reporter and not an anchor.
This has not been going well for Jeopardy. The quiz show is once again looking for a new host after the show's executive producer, Mike Richards, steps down as host amid all these series of scandals. He is still the executive producer, though, by the way.
And the more and more I think about this, TV is just as bad as radio. Everybody has to be a dick. And I'm sure, like, this guy said this stuff a long time ago. And really, what does it matter what the guy said in the past? He's just reading cue cards. He's never going to measure up to Alex Trebek. But I'm sure, like, some of the other people, I bet it was that Ken Jennings guy. I wouldn't put it past Ken Jennings. Be like, oh, I caught wind that this producer, they've already picked him out. This is a big dog and pony show already. So let me see if I can dig some dirt up, and then I'm going to leak it. That's exactly what has happened here. That's why radio, TV, anything that comes to entertainment, it's cutthroat. Do not trust anybody.
Jason Carr in the carport with the new search. I mean, they already had some candidates. Are they just going to choose from there?
Apparently, they lost my reel.
Oh, another thing about TV news. A lot of people are like, oh, why do you think you know so much about TV news? Because I am a news junkie, not Sean Wasson from Real Radio 104.1, but I do watch a lot of news, and I know what works. But the entertainment reporter or the ones that do, like, the soft news, not the stuff that lead, or if it bleeds, it leads. No, but the media guys, the entertainment reporters, are the biggest douchebag hacks out of all of them. Like, those are the people that everybody does not take serious and they hate. They're like the nerds of TV broadcasting.
Guest host will once again...
And I wouldn't put it past that it came up on the teleprompter, because that was not a real laugh by the anchor. Not only did they make the anchor give this shitty, hackish type, what is such and such to begin the story? They love puns. Like, TV news media, they think that puns are the best. And then I'm sure that it said on the teleprompter, give the media, the entertainment reporter, a courtesy laugh, because that laugh did not seem genuine at all.
Step behind the famous Jeopardy lectern, Mike Richards, officially named Alex Trebek's replacement 2 weeks ago, but a string of controversies, including offensive comments on his podcast, put his new job immediately in jeopardy.
I will say, the guy delivered that line so well that not a lot of people caught that, but that is another fucking pun. Like I said, the entertainment reporters are the worst. Nobody takes them seriously, but I will give the guy credit. The way he delivered the line Jeopardy, it didn't seem like a pun, but now listening back to it after I edited this audio, that was definitely a pun, but he actually delivered it too well. Like, you got, if you're going to do a pun, you got to make it apparent, and I don't think a lot of people caught that. It put his job in jeopardy.
And he resigned last week, but he managed to tape 5 episodes, which will oddly air in September. After that, temporary duties will go to Miam Bialik.
All right, so I know a lot of people do not think that she's very attractive at all, but I always had the biggest crush on her, especially from Blossom. Now, I will say this. I like quirky looking girls, but I'm not saying like they're ugly or like anything bad, but just like features that stand out. And old Blossom, Mayim, she's got that nose. The nose is her gimmick. Like, here, I'll give you a prime example. It wasn't until 2006, right before I got married, that I ended up getting glasses. I ended up getting glasses because I had to go get my license renewed. And guess what? When I went to go get my license renewed, I could not pass the eye test. So I ended up having to go get glasses before I could get my license. And then I wore the glasses for so long, they have become like a prop for me. Like, people, like, I now think that I look weird when I'm not wearing my glasses. So that's what I mean about just features. Blossom is definitely known for her nose. You also know another person that's known for his nose, or she's known for her nose. This guy is known for his nose, but Owen Wilson. You know, I just got done watching the TV show Loki. Absolutely loved it. If you've not watched Loki yet, make sure you check it out. But I thought Owen Wilson's career was done. But after Loki, I was like, dude, he's going to be a major player in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Oh, on a tangent, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer is out. Well, teaser trailer. I mean, we did get to see some of the villains and stuff, and I'm absolutely excited about it. The best Spider-Man villain. I know a lot of people did not like Tobey Maguire. Spider-Man 1 was amazing. Spider-Man 2 was the best. The third, sucked. I did like Andrew Garfield's, but I really think they gave him bad villains. But Tom Holland definitely has been the best. So you didn't get to see or be able to confirm that they're all three of the people that have played Spider-Man are going to be there. But you did get to see some of the villains, and the best villain, Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. Yeah, I listen, Doc Ock is enough to sell this whole thing for me. But back to Owen Wilson, I mean, he has broken his nose twice, and his nose looks so jacked up. But, I mean, the guy obviously has enough money to be able to fix that nose, but he hasn't done it because guess why? He is known for his nose, just like Blossom is as well.
She had been slated to only host Jeopardy primetime specials. Now she'll tape 3 weeks as a guest host. Mayim Bialik is best known for her starring roles on The Big Bang Theory and way back when, Blossom. She also has a PhD in neuroscience.
All right, so speaking of nerd crushes, who is the smarter out of the two, Blossom or Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years? Because Danica McKellar, I think she's got like two or three like master degrees in a bunch of science fields. I think she's considered one of the best mathematicians in the United States. And I would like to hear from you. I know I've already given you guys a couple of questions, but if you got a chance to bang one or the other, I, on looks alone, definitely going for Winnie Cooper. But if you're taking smarts into fact, you know what? My audience, a bunch of guys, they don't care about smarts. They really don't. They just want to bang the hot chick. So, you know what? Don't even worry about that whole question. I know everybody's going with Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years.
One source says Sony executives are considering making her the permanent host if she can figure out how to work on the show while also shooting her Fox sitcom, Call Me Cat.
That is a no-brainer. That is a no-brainer at all. Like, seriously. I mean, I'm sure that they film a week's worth of Jeopardy in one day. It's probably going to pay you maybe not as much, but if you do this Jeopardy gig, all you got to do is show up, read some cards, maybe be a little funny here and there, be some eye candy. It is a cush, easy-ass job compared to acting in a sitcom. And you're going to have a longer run as the host of Jeopardy. So you know what? I would tell that other show to go pound sand, and I would take the Jeopardy gig all day, every day.
Bialik tweeting last night, happy to be of service to my Jeopardy family. There's no place I'd rather be. Now, I saw yesterday that it was Ken Jennings' role to lose. So we'll see. As for who will get their turn during this latest round of guest hosts, Sony has yet to say, but there is a major social media push to get, no surprise here, LeVar Burton back on the show.
I would rather have LeVar Burton than Ken Jennings, but I don't even get the big appeal. Like, are they just trying to find the nerdiest of nerdiest, like, characters or people that have played characters to host Jeopardy? I mean, LeVar Burton, that's one of those guys you've really, really never heard a bad thing about. But the type of people that watch Jeopardy, I'm just saying this, I don't feel this way, but, Middle America, the Bible Belt, they don't want an African-American hosting Jeopardy. I'm just saying. Like, it does not bother me at all, but there's no way LeVar Burton is getting that gig. Even though he's a great guy, nobody has ever heard anything bad about him, it's just not going to happen. Anyways, I've gone really, really long, but hell, it should show you how much I've hit the ground running after my 2 days of relaxation and hanging out with my really, really good friends. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Make sure you check out the Tuttle Daily Podcast live stream tonight at 8 on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by jcvoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show,
go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com. Or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.